The Enduring Church of God presents Charles E. Bryce, bringing you a straightforward message on the abundant life and the good news of the kingdom of God.
Hello, everyone. What is real conversion? Do you know? Today's popular religious teachings tell us that real, deep, lasting conversion has to do with giving your heart to the Lord. What does that mean, give your heart to the Lord? What does that mean, do you know the Lord? We sing songs and have altar calls that tell us to just come as we are, just as I am, just as you are. Is that real conversion? Others say all you need to do is just confess that Jesus is the Son of God, which of course he is, but is that all there is to it? Is that what the Bible actually says? I want to encourage you to get your Bible and let's open up God's Word and study this subject together as we read right out of God's Word and let the Bible do the talking as far as the final word is concerned on this subject of real conversion. Don't forget what it says right over here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 21. Let's turn there and read that. In order to really know the truth, teach the truth, believe the truth, obey the truth, and be pleasing to God, and not end up being deceived and misled, we've got to do what it says right here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 21. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Prove all things. Can you prove what real conversion really is? Or do you just accept what somebody tells you? Do you just simply go along with what everybody else goes along with? Or do you take the time to take God's word and prove it for yourself? You know, this has to do with salvation. This is no small matter. This is really a life and death matter. And it behooves us to take it very seriously and really know the truth about this matter. There's a lot more to it than what the general description of it is. A lot more to it than what you are told in religious circles, just as far as platitudes and quick phrases and generalizations. Much more to it than quote-unquote just giving your heart to the Lord, or coming just as you are, or confessing that Jesus is the Son of God. You're going to see, as you read with me through your Bible, it goes much, much deeper than those things. Let's turn now to Acts chapter 3 and verse 19 in your New Testament. Notice what it says over here in Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. This is Peter, and he's speaking soon after the day of Pentecost as the New Testament church was being established and the apostles were going out and teaching and preaching and showing anyone who wanted to listen and anyone who was interested in the truth, showing them what the truth really was. And Peter and John were out there fulfilling their calling from God to serve him as his ministers and his apostles. And notice what Peter said here in Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. Repent you, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Repent you, it says, and be converted. Well, what does that mean? Repent you and be converted. Repentance is a very important step that we must take in this matter of conversion. We have to be mature enough to know what that means. We have to actually be called and have our minds opened, and then we have to be led to repentance. It is a process. In fact, conversion is a lifelong process. It continues for as long as we live, and it involves growing and overcoming. And it starts with being called. Let's notice what John says about that. You can't just decide for yourself, well, I'm going to repent and I'm going to be baptized and I'm going to be converted. That's not a decision for you to make. You end up making that decision one way or the other, but first you have to be called of God. It says that right here in John 6 and verse 44. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that has heard and has learned of the Father comes unto me. We have to be called. We have to be chosen. Many are called, few are chosen. We have to be called and chosen. We have to be led to Jesus Christ by God the Father. in order to come to repentance and conversion. And we are actually led to repentance and then led through our lives. God does that through the power of His Holy Spirit. He leads us throughout our lives in this process of conversion. We must make choices all along the way. We must make decisions all along the way. We have to live our lives in obedience all along the way. But we can't just take it upon ourselves to give our heart to the Lord and therefore to follow God's way just on our own because we've decided to do it. We have to be called, we have to be led in that direction, and we have to give ourselves over to Almighty God. So our choices and our decisions are certainly involved. But first of all, God must call us. And He will. He'll call everybody at one time or the other. Something you might want to write in for, and is totally free of charge, is our material entitled, Is This the Only Day of Salvation? God is not a respecter of persons. He doesn't play favorites. He's going to give everybody an opportunity to be converted, but at different times. And in order for anybody to be converted, we have to be given that opportunity from Almighty God. And then we have to start making choices about, are we going to obey God or not obey God? And as I said, it is a lifelong process. Let's turn now to Psalms chapter 51 and verse 13. It's a wonderful life. It's a thrilling, challenging, encouraging, riveting life of overcoming and growing. It brings happiness and joy and peace. It also brings trials and tests and persecution. And it isn't easy, but it's completely absorbing. And with God's help, rewarding all the way through to the end. Notice here in Psalms 51 and verse 13, David had deeply repented here, and he was telling God what he was going to do after this repentance and forgiveness. And he says here in Psalms 51, verse 13, Then will I teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted unto you. And David did that. But what does it mean, sinners shall be converted unto you? Conversion means to turn around. It is a turning around. In fact, some translations describe it that way. They word it that way. A turning around. Repent and turn around. Repent and be converted. Because that's what it is. A transformation takes place. We go from sin as a way of life to obedience as the way of life that God has given us to live. A turnaround in the mind, a turnaround in everything takes place, from going in the wrong direction to going in the right direction, from being the wrong kind of individual to being the right kind of individual. And it involves many things, and God is involved in every step of this matter of conversion. Paul talks about it. Let's turn over here to Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. It's so much more exciting and so much more thrilling and challenging and rewarding than just quote-unquote, coming as you are, come as you are, stay as you are. Christ has done it all for you. That's not what the Bible says. We can't come just as we are and stay the way we are. If we're going to obey God and change and be converted, we're going to have to be a new man. Not the way we are now, but the way God wants us to be. Look at what Paul said here in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. See, He becomes number one in our lives. Now what we are focused on is serving God, obeying God, serving others, letting our light shine, being ambassadors of Jesus Christ, giving ourselves over into God's hands, to present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now what becomes utterly important is everything that God says, and utterly unimportant is everything that the world has to offer, having to do with sin and evil and rottenness. We become a living sacrifice. Notice here Romans 12, verse 1. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2, Romans 12. And be not conformed to this world. Be not conformed to the way the world is. We've come out of this world and we're separate. We don't like the way the world plays sports and plays music and is so totally caught up and absorbed with celebrity and physical things and evil and rottenness and filth and more that way openly. We withdraw from that And sure, we enjoy sports, but in the right way. We enjoy music, and we enjoy living life abundantly, but in the right way. And filthiness and evil and rottenness and disobedience and selfishness out the window. We don't want that anymore. We don't want to be that way anymore. We change from that. We become converted. And that means we turn around and we turn away from that. And God forgives us then. Totally forgives us. And blots out our sins. And blots out all that we've done that's been wrong and puts it under the blood of Jesus Christ and forgives us. Isn't that what we read in Acts 3:19? Repent you therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. Isn't that something? No matter what evil we've said, done, and thought, all totally blotted out. Now we have a clean slate. Now we walk in newness of life. Now we go from sin as a practice to obedience as a practice. Now we become renewed. Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And once you prove it, you live it, and you become a new man in doing so, or a new woman. That's the process of conversion, and it goes on for the rest of your life, and it's a thrilling, wonderful thing. Now, let's see a few more steps in this whole process of conversion, but turning over here to Acts chapter 2, and verse 37. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, gave a very powerful sermon, and it was so powerful that it convicted many, many people to start examining themselves and asking questions. And many of these people probably had seen Jesus Christ and had been among the thousands and thousands that would gather and hear him speak, but they just hadn't been convicted yet to do anything about their sins. And once the whole matter of crucifixion and death and burial and resurrection of our Savior had taken place, and then on Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out, and then the apostles were preaching so powerfully, they became convicted and saw that we're going to have to do something. We can't just stay the way we are. What do we do? Let's notice what Peter said here in Acts chapter 2 and verse 37. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. They were cut to the heart. And they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What are we going to do now? We get the point. We see that we are wrong. We see that we've got to do something. We see that we can't stay just the way we are. Jesus Christ didn't just do it all for us. We've got something we have to do. And Jesus Christ will help us do it, and he will do what we can't do. But we've got to do something, and that's why they said here, men and brethren, what shall we do? Verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent. You repent. Now, what is real repentance? Repentance is coming to see where you are wrong. You see that you are a sinner, that you are breaking God's law, that you are cut off from God because of your sins. And so you go to God and you cry out to him and you ask him to forgive you of all of your sins and forgive you for being a sinner. And then you ask him to help you turn around and go the right way and away from the wrong way. And you ask him to forgive you. Then you go from there and you sin no more as a way of life and as a practice. And you know what happens? God will hear that prayer if you really mean it and if you're really sincere. He will. He will lead you in that direction. He will lead you to repentance when he sees that attitude in you. Sometimes it might involve emotion, and sometimes it might not involve all that much emotion, but it always involves deep sincerity. You really mean it, and God knows that you really, really mean it. You're sick and tired of the way you are now and what you've been doing, and you want to stop being the way you are now, stop what you're doing, and turn around and be pleasing in God's sight. And be obedient to him and turn everything over to him. He knows when you really mean it. He knows when you do that. He can tell whether or not it's real. And he can tell whether or not you really mean it and whether or not you are really going to do it. Well, if you do, and if you are going to do it, here's what the Bible says must be done next. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, notice, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Remember, we started off by going to John where it says you have to be drawn to God. You have to be called. And so after repentance, in this whole lifelong process of conversion, we are to be baptized. And baptism is not just a sprinkling or a dabbing, and it's not for babies any more than repentance is for babies or children. Repentance has to do with adults who really know what that means. Repenting of sin, of breaking God's law, and then being baptized. To be baptized means you are completely submerged in water. You're totally covered, symbolic of having all of your sins totally covered and blotted out by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. You are buried in baptism, buried in the water, as it were. You are baptized and completely covered in the water. And then you come up out of the water and you receive the gift of God's Holy Spirit after the laying on of hands. That's all steps in this whole process of being converted. So once we're called and we're led to repentance and we repent and we're baptized and we receive God's Holy Spirit, then comes a life of overcoming and growing. Overcoming and growing from then on for the rest of our lives, becoming more and more deeply converted with each passing year as we head toward the kingdom of God. We don't stay the way we are. We don't stand still. We don't say, okay, well, I've repented. I've been baptized. I've received God's Spirit. I'm okay now. I'll just go around and be about doing what I want to do, doing my job, taking care of my family, meeting my obligations, and I'll just be who I am. That's it. That's not true conversion. True conversion means that we go forward and overcome and we change from who we are to who God wants us to be, which is more and more like Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says. See, real conversion involves way more than a quick phrase or a quick platitude or an emotional outburst of how much you love the Lord, so to speak. It involves a way of life, the way of life that the Bible outlines from cover to cover. If you really watch and look and study and know what the Bible says, directly or indirectly, it's talking about the way of life God requires of all those who are going to be in His kingdom. And that way of life means growing in conversion for the rest of your life. Let's notice here in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. 2 Peter 3 and verse 18, the Bible is so plain, it's so clear, if we'll just read it and believe what it says and not twist it and turn it and try to make it say what we want it to say, but just read it and that's what it says and no excuses, with God's help, begin to try to do what it says. And He will help you. None of us can do it on our own. It's a huge mistake to try to. But all of us can do it when God calls us, chooses us, and leads us to repentance and baptism and gives us His Holy Spirit, then He helps us overcome. We have to put forth tremendous effort, and we have to keep trying and pushing until we overcome, and we overcome other things, and we overcome other things with God's help. And we build holy, righteous, godly character. God instills it in us as we make the right choices and develop the right attitudes and grow in that area of serving God. Character gets developed then, and it grows in us, and it's holy, righteous, godly character. But notice what 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18 says. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Now, does that sound like status quo? Does that sound like, well, just come as you are and that's it? Does that say, just give your heart to the Lord and that's it? Does that say Christ did it all for you? No, it says you must grow. That means overcome and progress. That means change. Be converted and grow in conversion and in grace. And notice this, in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now we start studying God's Word and asking Him to guide us in our study of His Word so that we grow in the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ and God's way of life and the truth found in the Bible from cover to cover. We get out on our knees on a daily basis and we pray to Almighty God. And it's not just give me this, give me that, give me the other thing, but it's thank you for this, thank you for that, and thank you for the other thing, and help me to overcome and grow and be pleasing in your sight, and help me to be an outstanding example for others. Help me to love you with all my heart, mind, and soul, and to love my neighbor as myself. That's conversion. That's overcoming. Grow in grace and in knowledge. the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we change, and we change for the better. The Bible makes it very, very clear. Let's notice Colossians chapter 3, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 8. It's all through the Bible. It says here in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 8, "But now you also put off these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth." Get rid of all of that. "Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds." The old person, you put it off. "And you have put on," verse 10, "you have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." Look at that. You put off the old person, you put on the new person. You change. And you change from then on for the rest of your life. And you don't revert back to the way you were before, but you convert forward to the way God wants you to be. More and more like Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says. That's what real conversion is. That's the process of conversion. "Lie not one to another," verse 9, Colossians 3, "seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." It's the way of life now that God gives us. It's how we live. It's how we are. And the more time passes by, the more we are totally unlike the way we used to be and totally like the way God wants us to be. And if we had friends before conversion and we don't see them for a number of years and then we meet up with them again, we're not the same old that we were when we weren't converted. They notice the difference. Oh, it's not a preachy, goody-two-shoes, condescending way. No, that's not how we are. We're happy. We're full of joy. We're full of peace. But you know what? Now we have a clean mind, a pure mind. Our conversation is clean. We put off all of the wrong stuff and put on the right stuff. We're kind, we're gentle, but we're firm about what's right and what's wrong. We are now really nice, not pretending to be nice. We're not maneuvering and orchestrating and manipulating and trying to control others. Oh, they see a total difference now. If we were gossipy before, we're not that way now. If we lost our temper before, we don't do that now. If we were hateful and mean before, we're not that way anymore. We're a new person, and they'll notice it. What we used to laugh at, we don't laugh at anymore if it's bad and dirty. If we used to get drunk, we don't do that anymore. If we used to be sarcastic and put people down, we don't do that. Now we respect others. A magnificent transformation has taken place. That's what conversion does in our lives. And it has to be something that we're involved in every day. Let's just notice James 4 and verse 7. It's the most thrilling thing. Life takes on tremendous meaning. Everything counts now. Everything means something now. Everything matters now. Whether anybody knows about it or whether anybody doesn't know about it, it all matters now because, you see, God does know, and he's judging us. And he's blessing us, and he's forgiving us, and he's counting on us, and he's expecting good things of us, and he'll help us do it. Notice right here in James chapter 4 and verse 7. It says in James 4 and verse 7, "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." And that's true. "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." Isn't that tremendous? We now, on a daily basis, can draw closer and closer to God, and he will draw closer and closer to us. And when we get down on our knees and pray to him, he hears us. And when we open his word and study it, he guides us. And if we're walking and praying to him, or sitting and praying to him, we're in touch with him, and we're drawing closer and closer to him, and he's drawing closer and closer to us. That's conversion. "Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness." In this process of changing from being the wrong person doing the wrong things to the right person doing the right things according to God's word. "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Eternal, and he shall lift you up." And that's conversion. That's the process of conversion. And as we do what we just read there, we're going to be overcomers. We're going to grow in grace and knowledge. We're going to be pleasing in God's sight. We're going to be a new person. And the old man is gone and the new man is here to stay. And happiness and joy and blessings that come along with that will just overwhelm you. God promises that this new life will be so thrilling it'll almost be beyond description. And He will be with us. And Jesus Christ will be guiding us and directing us and blessing us and helping us. And we do not ever want to turn around and go back where we were before, but turn around and go where we're supposed to be forevermore. That's what we want to do, and that's what we do. And we become a real Christian, a true Christian. And we can impact others as well, just by our examples, not by our pushiness or our preachiness, but by our examples. And that involves overcoming and growing. That involves conversion, and then our examples flow from that. Let's turn to one other scripture over here in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 7. Notice this promise. It's so clear, it's so plain. I don't see anyone can misunderstand it. It's very simple, very straightforward. All we have to do is just read it and take it for what it says. Revelation chapter 21 over here in the New Testament. Revelation 21 and verse 7. Look at this. I think we all want this. Verse 7, Revelation 21. He that overcomes shall inherit all things. I will be his God, and he shall be my son, my daughter, my child. Isn't that something? As we truly repent and we become deeply converted and we live the rest of our life overcoming and growing, we're going to draw closer and closer to God. He's going to draw closer and closer to us. And then we will inherit all things, which means the whole universe. And we will become his children and be members of his family forever and ever and ever. So you see, this question of conversion is a broad, deep process involving several steps that come from God and involve our commitment to following those steps and doing our part and then being rewarded tremendously from God and eventually rewarded with eternal life forever and ever. He that overcomes shall inherit all things, it says, Revelation 21:7, and I will be his God, and he shall be my child, my son, my daughter. If you would like more information on this subject of real conversion, request our free material on the subject, and we'll send it to you free of charge, no obligations, no strings attached. Just ask for our CD on Do You Know the Lord and What is Sin? And ask for our two-part series on Is Today the Only Day of Salvation? And also request our wonderful magazine, Straightforward. It has tremendous articles in there over a wide variety of interesting subjects that you will love to read, beautifully laid out. You will enjoy the pictures and everything else in this magazine, Straightforward. It's totally free of charge. We'll send it to you upon your request. All you need to do is call our toll-free number at 1-800-581-1317. That's 1-800-581-1317. Or you can log on to our website at straightforward.org. Until next time, this is Charles Bryce with the Enduring Church of God.
For more information, you may write to Enduring Church of God, P.O. Box 1317, Chandler, Texas, 75758, or visit our website at straightforward.org.